775. It is said of each after its kind, because there are genera and species of all goods, both spiritual and natural, and also of the derivative sensuous and corporeal goods. So many genera are there of spiritual goods, and so many genera likewise of spiritual truths, that they cannot be numbered. Still less can the species of the genera. In heaven, all goods and truths, celestial and spiritual, are so distinct in their genera and these in their species, that there is not the least of them which is not quite distinct. And so innumerable are they that the specific differences may be said to be unlimited. From this it may be seen how poor and almost nothing is human wisdom, which scarcely knows that there is such a thing as spiritual good or spiritual truth, much less what it is. From celestial and spiritual goods and their derivative truths issue and descend natural goods and truths. For there is never any natural good and truth that does not spring from spiritual good, and this from celestial, and also subsist from the same. If the spiritual should withdraw from the natural would be nothing. The origin of all things is in this wise. All things, both in general and in particular, are from the Lord. From him is the celestial. From him, through the celestial, comes forth the spiritual. Through the spiritual, the natural. Through the natural, the corporeal and the sensual. And as they all come forth from the Lord in this way, so also do they subsist from him. For as is well known, subsistence is a perpetual coming into existence. Those who have a different conception of the coming into existence and origin of things, like those who worship nature and deduce from her the origins of things, are in principle so deadly that the fantasies of the wild beasts of the forest may be called far more sane. Such are very many who appear to themselves to excel others in wisdom. 776. That every fowl after its kind signifies every spiritual truth, flying thing natural truth, and winged thing sensuous truth, is evident from what has been stated and shown before concerning birds, as at number 40. The most ancient people likened man's thoughts to birds, because relatively to the things of the will, thoughts are like birds. As mention is here made of fowl, flying thing, and winged thing, and of these in succession, like things intellectual, rational, and sensuous in man, in order that no one may doubt that they signify these things, some passages from the word may be adduced in confirmation, from which it will also be plain that beasts signify such things as have been stated. Thus in David, Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the fields, the fowl of the heaven, and the fish of the sea. Psalm 8, verses 6 to 8. This is said of the Lord, whose dominion over man and over the things pertaining to man is thus described. Otherwise, what would be the dominion over beasts and fowls? Again, fruitful trees and all cedars, the wild animal and every beast, creeping things and flying fowl, let them praise the name of Yahuwah. 148, verses 9, 10, and 13. The fruitful tree denotes the celestial man. The cedar, the spiritual man. The wild animal and beast and creeping thing are their goods, as in the history before us. The flying fowl is their truths. From all of which they can praise the name of Yahuwah. By no means can the wild animal, the beast, the creeping thing, and the bird do this. In profane writing, such things may be said hyperbolically, but there is nothing hyperbolical in the word of the Lord, but things significative and representative. In Ezekiel, the fishes of the sea and the fowls of the heaven and the wild animal of the field and all creeping things that creep upon the earth and all the men that are upon the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. 38, verse 20. That such things are here signified by beasts and fowls is very manifest. For how would it be to the glory of Yahuwah if fishes, birds, and beasts should shake? Can anyone suppose that such sayings would be holy if they did not involve holy things? In Jeremiah, I beheld, and lo, there was no man, and all the birds of the heavens were fled. 4, verse 25. This denotes all good and truth. Man also denotes here the good of love. Again, they are burned up, so that none passeth through, neither can men hear the voice of the cattle. Both the fowl of the heavens and the beast are fled, they are gone. 9, verse 10. This denotes in like manner that all truth and good have departed. And again, how long shall the land mourn, and the herb of every field wither? For the wickedness of them that dwell therein, the beasts are consumed, and the birds, because they said, He shall not see our latter end. 12, verse 4. Here the beasts denote goods, and the birds truths, which perished. In Zephaniah, I will consume man and beast. I will consume the fowls of the heaven and the fishes of the sea, and the stumbling blocks with the wicked. And I will cut off man from off the face of the ground. 1, verse 3. Here man and beast denote the things of love and its good. The fowls of the heaven and the fishes of the sea, the things of the understanding, thus which are of truth. These are called stumbling blocks because goods and truths are stumbling blocks to the wicked, but not beasts and birds. And they are also plainly spoken of man. In David, the trees of Yahuwah are satisfied, the cedars of Lebanon which he hath planted, where the birds make their nests. 104, verses 16 and 17. The trees of Yahuwah and the cedars of Lebanon denote the spiritual man. The birds his rational or natural truths which are his nests. It was, moreover, a common form of expression that birds would make their nests in the branches, signifying truths, as in Ezekiel. In the mountain of the height of Israel will I plant it, and it shall lift up its bough and bear fruit, and be a goodly cedar. And under it shall dwell every bird of every wing, in the shadow of the branches thereof shall they dwell. 17, verse 23. This denotes the church of the Gentiles, which was spiritual. This is the goodly cedar. The bird of every wing denotes truths of every kind. Again, all the birds of the heavens made their nests in his boughs, and under his branches all the wild animals of the field brought forth. And under his shadow dwelt all great nations. 31, verse 6. This is said of Asher, which is the spiritual church and is called a cedar. The birds of the heavens denote its truths, the beasts its goods. In Daniel, the leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and it was meat for all. The beasts of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of heaven dwelt in the branches thereof. 4, verses 12 and 21. Here the beasts denote goods, the fowls of the heavens truths, as must be evident to everyone. For otherwise, of what concern is it that the bird and the beast dwelt there? And it is the same with what the Lord says. The kingdom of God is like unto a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast into his garden. And it grew and became a tree, and the birds of the heaven lodged in the branches thereof. Luke 13, verse 19. Matthew 13, verses 31 and 32. Mark 4, verses 31 and 32. 777. It is now evident that the fowl signifies spiritual truth, the flying thing natural truth, and the winged thing sensuous truth, and that truths are distinguished in this way. Sensuous truths, which are those of the sight and hearing, are called winged things, because they are outermost. And such is the signification of wing as applied to other things also. 778. Now as the fowls of the heavens signify truths of the understanding and thus thoughts, they also signify their opposites, such as fantasies or falsities, which being of man's thought are also called fowls. As for example, when it is said that the wicked shall be given for meat to the fowls of heaven and to the wild beasts, meaning fantasies and lusts. Isaiah 18, verse 6. Jeremiah 7, verse 33. 16, verse 4. 19, verse 7. 34, verse 20. Ezekiel 29, verse 5, 39, verse 4. The Lord himself also compares fantasies and false persuasions to fowls, where he says, "The seed that fell by the wayside was trodden underfoot, and the fowls of heaven came and devoured it." Matthew 13, verse 4. Luke 8, verse 5. Mark 4, verses 4 and 15. Here the fowls of heaven are nothing but falsities. 779. And they went in unto Noah into the ark. That this signifies that they were saved has been already shown. That two and two signify pairs and what they are may be seen at chapter 6, verse 19. 780. Of all flesh wherein is the breath of lives. That this signifies a new creature, or that they received new life from the Lord, is evident from the signification of flesh as being in general all mankind, and specifically the corporeal man, as before said and shown. Hence flesh wherein is the breath of lives signifies a regenerated man. For in his proprium there is the Lord's life, which is the life of charity and faith. Every man is only flesh, but when the life of charity and faith is breathed into him by the Lord, the flesh is made alive and becomes spiritual and celestial, and is called a new creature. Mark 16, verse 15. From having been created anew. 781, verse 16. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and Yahuwah shut after him. They that went in signifies the things that were with the man of the church. Went in male and female of all flesh signifies that there were with him truths and goods of every kind. As God had commanded, signifies for the reception of which he had been prepared. And Yahuwah shut after him, signifies that man no longer had such communication with heaven as had the man of the celestial church. 782. Thus far, down to verse 11, the church has been described as having been preserved in those who were called Noah. The state of the church then follows, which is described, and first in this passage, as already explained. Then is described the quality of this state of the church. The single verses and even single words involve peculiarities of its state. And because the state of the church is now treated of, what was said just before is repeated, being said twice. Here in the words, "And they that went in male and female of all flesh." While in the verse just preceding it is said, "And they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh." This repetition in the word signifies that another state is treated of. Otherwise, as anyone may comprehend, it would be an entirely useless repetition. 783. That they that went in signifies the things that were with the man of the church is therefore evident. And it also follows that went in male and female of all flesh signifies that there were with him goods and truths of every kind. For it has been stated and shown several times before that the male and the female signify truths and goods. As God commanded him, that this signifies that he had been prepared to receive them has also been mentioned before. With the Lord, to command is to prepare and do. 784. And Yahuwah shut after him. That this signifies that man no longer had such communication with heaven as had the man of the celestial church appears from the following statement of the case. The state of the most ancient church was such that they had internal communication with heaven, and so through heaven with the Lord. They were in love to the Lord. Those who are in love to the Lord are like angels, with the difference only that they are clothed with a body. Their interiors were uncovered and were opened even from the Lord. But this new church was different. They were not in love to the Lord, but in faith, and through faith were in charity towards the neighbor. Such cannot have internal communication like the most ancient man, but external. But the nature of internal and of external communication, it would take too long to explain. Every man, even the wicked, has communication with heaven through the angels with him, but with a difference as to degree, that is, nearer or more remote, for otherwise man could not exist. The degrees of this communication are without limit. A spiritual man cannot possibly have such communication as can the celestial man, for the reason that the Lord is in love and not so much in faith. And this is what is signified by Yahuwah shut after him. And since those times, heaven has never been open in the way it was to the man of the most ancient church. It is true that many afterwards spoke with spirits and angels, as Moses, Aaron, and others, but in an entirely different way, concerning which of the Lord's divine mercy we will treat hereafter. The reason why heaven was closed is deeply hidden, and why it is so closed at this day that man does not even know that there are spirits, still less that there are angels with him, and supposes himself to be entirely alone when without companions in the world, and when he is thinking by himself. And yet he is continually in the company of spirits, who observe and perceive what the man is thinking, and what he intends and devises, as fully and plainly as if it were manifest before all in the world. This the man is ignorant of, so close to him is heaven, and yet it is most true. The reason is that if heaven were not so close to him while he is in no faith, still less in the truth of faith, and still less in charity, it would be most perilous to him. This is also signified by the words, Yahuwah God drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden the cherubim, and the flame of a sword that turned itself to keep the way of the tree of lives. Chapter 3, verse 24. See also what is said in number 301 to 303. 785, verses 17 and 18. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased, and bare up the ark, and it was lifted up from off the earth. And the waters were strengthened, and increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went upon the faces of the waters. By 40 days is signified the duration of the church called Noah. By the flood, falsities which still inundated it. That the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lifted up from off the earth, signifies that such was its fluctuation. The waters were strengthened and increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went upon the face of the waters, signifies that its fluctuations thus increased in frequency and strength. 786. That by 40 days is signified the duration of the church called Noah was shown above at verse 4. Here it is 40 days, there 40 days and 40 nights, because in that place the duration of temptation was signified, in which the nights are anxieties. 787. That by the flood are signified falsities which still inundated the church also follows from what was shown above. For a flood or inundation is nothing but an inundation of falsities. Before, at verse 6, the flood of waters signified temptation, as was there shown, which also is an inundation of falsities that evil spirits then excite in man. The case is the same here, but without temptation, and therefore it is said here simply the flood, not the flood of waters. 788. The waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lifted up from off the earth. That this signifies the nature of its fluctuation, and that the waters were strengthened and increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went upon the face of the waters, signifies that its fluctuations thus increased in frequency and strength, cannot be seen unless there be first explained what was the state of this church, which is called Noah. Noah was not the ancient church itself, but was as the parent or seed of that church, as before said. Noah, together with Shem, Ham, and Japheth, constituted the ancient church, which immediately succeeded the most ancient. Every man of the church called Noah was of the posterity of the most ancient church, and with respect to hereditary evil was therefore in a state nearly like that of the rest of the posterity which perished. And those who were in such a state could not be regenerated and made spiritual, as could those who did not derive such quality by inheritance. What their hereditary quality was has been stated above, number 310. For example, that the matter may be more clearly understood, those who, like the Jews, are of the seed of Jacob cannot so well be regenerated as can the Gentiles, for they have an inherent opposition to faith, not only from principles imbibed from infancy and afterwards confirmed, but from hereditary disposition also. That this inheres also from hereditary disposition may in some measure be evident from their being of a different genius, of different manners, and also of different features from other men, whereby they are distinguishable from others, and these characteristics they have from inheritance. And it is the same with the interior qualities, for manners and features are types of the interiors. Therefore, converted Jews fluctuate more than others between truth and falsity. It was the same with the first men of the ancient church who were called Noah, because they were of the race and seed of the most ancient men. These are the fluctuations described here, and also in what follows. That Noah was a husbandman and planted a vineyard, and that he drank of the wine and was drunken, and lay uncovered within his tent. 9, verses 20 and 21. That they were few was made evident from the fact that the man of that church was represented in the world of spirits as a tall and slender man, clothed in white in a chamber of small dimensions. And yet it was these who preserved and had among them the doctrinal things of faith. 789. The fluctuations of the man of this church are described here. First, by its being said that the waters, that is, falsities, increased. Then that they bear up the ark, and that it was lifted up from off the earth. Afterwards, that the waters were strengthened and increased greatly upon the earth. And finally, that the ark went upon the faces of the waters. But to explain each degree of the fluctuation would be unnecessary and too prolix. It is sufficient to know that they are here described. We will merely mention what is signified by the statement that the ark was lifted up from off the earth and went upon the faces of the waters. As no one can know this unless he is informed how man is withheld from evils and falsities, and as this is a hidden thing, it shall be briefly explained. Speaking generally, every man, even the regenerate, is such that if the Lord did not withhold him from evils and falsities, he would cast himself headlong into hell. The very moment he is not withheld, he rushes headlong into it. This has been made known to me by experience, and was also represented by a horse, as before described, number 187 and 188. This withholding from evils and falsities is in effect a lifting up, so that evils and falsities are perceived below and the man above. Concerning this elevation of the Lord's divine mercy, we will treat hereafter. It is this elevation which is signified by the ark being lifted up from off the earth and going upon the faces of the waters. 790. That the waters here and in the following verses signify falsities is evident from the passages of the word adduced at the beginning of this chapter, at verse 6, where a flood or inundation of waters is treated of. It is there shown that inundations of waters signify desolations and temptations, which involve the same as falsities. For desolations and temptations are nothing but inundations of falsities that are excited by evil spirits. That such waters signify falsities is because in the word, waters in general signify what is spiritual, that is, what is of the understanding, of reason, and of scientific. And as they signify these, they also signify their contraries. For every falsity is a something pertaining to the scientific, and appears as a thing of reason and understanding, because it is of the thought. That waters signify spiritual things is evident from many passages in the Word, and that they also signify falsities, let the following passages, in addition to those already cited, serve for confirmation. In Isaiah, this people hath refused the waters of Shiloah that go softly. Therefore, behold, the Lord bringeth up upon them the waters of the river, strong and many, and he shall go over all his banks. 8, verses 6 and 7. The waters that go softly here denote things spiritual, waters strong and many, falsities. Again, woe to the land shadowing with wings, which is beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, that sendeth ambassadors upon the sea, and in vessels of papyrus upon the waters. Go, ye swift messengers, to a nation meted out and trodden down, whose land the rivers have spoiled. 18, verses 1 and 2. This denotes the falsities which are of the land shadowing with wings. Again, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. 43, verse 2. The waters and rivers denote difficulties and also falsities. In Jeremiah, what hast thou to do with the way of Egypt, to drink the waters of Sihor? And what hast thou to do with the way of Assyria, to drink the waters of the river? 2, verse 18. Here waters denote falsities from reasonings. Again, who is this that riseth up as a river? As the rivers, his waters are in commotion. Egypt riseth up as a river, and as the rivers, his waters toss themselves. And he said, I will rise up, I will cover the earth, I will destroy the city and the inhabitants thereof. 46, verses 7 and 8. Here again waters denote falsities from reasonings. In Ezekiel, thus saith the Lord Yahweh, when I shall make thee a desolate city, like the cities that are not inhabited, when I shall bring up the deep upon thee, and the great waters shall cover thee, then will I bring thee down with them that descend into the pit. 26, verses 19 and 20. Waters here denote evils and the falsities therefrom. In Habakkuk, thou didst tread the sea with thine horses, the mire of many waters. 3, verse 15. Here waters denote falsities. In John, and the serpent cast forth after the woman out of his mouth water as a river, that he might cause her to be carried away by the stream. Revelation 12, verses 15 and 16. Here waters denote falsities and lies. In David, send thine hand from above, rescue me and deliver me out of great waters, out of the hand of the sons of the stranger, whose mouth speaketh a lie, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. Psalm 144, verses 7 and 8. Great waters here manifestly denote falsities. The sons of the stranger also signify falsities. 791. Thus far Noah has been treated of, or the regenerate men called Noah, who were in the ark and were lifted up above the waters. The subject will now be those descendants of the most ancient church who were under the waters or were submerged by the waters. 792, verses 19 and 20. And the waters were strengthened very greatly upon the earth, and all the high mountains that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and covered the mountains. And the waters were strengthened very greatly upon the earth, signifies that persuasions of falsity thus increased. And all the high mountains that were under the whole heaven were covered, signifies that all goods of charity were extinguished. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail and covered the mountains, signifies that nothing of charity remained. 15 signifies so few as to be scarcely any. 793. The subject now treated of up to the end of this chapter is the antediluvians who perished, as is evident from the particulars of the description. Those who are in the internal sense can know instantly, and indeed from a single word, what subject is treated of. And especially can they know this from the connection of several words. When a different subject is taken up, at once the words are different, or the same words stand in different connection. The reason is that there are words peculiar to spiritual things and words peculiar to celestial things. Or what is the same, there are words peculiar to matters of understanding and others to matters of will. For example, the word desolation is predicated of spiritual things and vastation of celestial things. City is predicated of spiritual things, mountain of celestial things, and so on. The case is the same with the connective expressions. And what cannot fail to be a matter of surprise, in the Hebrew language the words are very often distinguishable by their sound. For in those which belong to the spiritual class, the first three vowels are usually dominant, and in words that are of the celestial class, the last two vowels. That in these verses a different subject is now treated of appears also from the repetition already spoken of, in that it is here again said as in the preceding verse, "And the waters were strengthened very greatly upon the earth." And the same is evident also from what follows. 794. "And the waters were strengthened very greatly upon the earth." That this signifies that persuasions of falsity thus increased is evident from what has been said and shown just above about waters, namely that the waters of a flood or inundations signify falsities. Here, because falsities or persuasions of what was false were still more increased, it is said that the waters were strengthened very greatly, which in the original language is the superlative. Falsities are principles and persuasions of what is false, and that these had increased immensely among the antediluvians is evident from all that has been said before concerning them. Persuasions immensely increase when men mingle truths with lusts, or make them favor the loves of self and of the world. For then in a thousand ways they pervert them and force them into agreement. For who that has imbibed or framed for himself a false principle does not confirm it by much that he has learned, and even from the word? Is there any heresy that does not thus lay hold of things to confirm it, and even force and in divers ways explain and distort things that are not in agreement so that they may not disagree? For example, he who adopts the principle that faith alone is saving without the goods of charity, can he not weave a whole system of doctrine out of the word? And this without in the least caring for or considering or even seeing what the Lord says. That the tree is known by its fruit, and that every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Matthew 3, verse 10, 7, verses 16 to 20, 12, verse 33. What is more pleasing than to live after the flesh, and yet be saved if only one knows what is true, though he does nothing good? Every lust that a man favors forms the life of his will, and every principle or persuasion of falsity forms the life of his understanding. These lives make one when the truths or doctrinals of faith are immersed in lusts. Every man thus forms for himself as it were a soul, and such after death does his life become. Nothing, therefore, is of more importance to a man than to know what is true. When he knows what is true and knows it so well that it cannot be perverted, then it cannot be so much immersed in lusts and have such deadly effect. What should a man have more at heart than his life to eternity? If in the life of the body he destroys his soul, doth he not destroy it to eternity. 795. All the high mountains that were under the whole heaven were covered. That this signifies that all the goods of charity were extinguished is evident from the signification of mountains among the most ancient people. With them, mountains signified the Lord, for the reason that they held their worship of him on mountains, because these were the highest places on earth. Hence mountains signified celestial things, which also were called the highest. Consequently, love and charity, and thereby the goods of love and charity, which are celestial. And in the opposite sense, those also are called mountains who are vainglorious, and therefore a mountain stands for the very love of self. The most ancient church is also signified in the word by mountains, from these being elevated above the earth and nearer, as it were, to heaven, to the beginnings of things. That mountains signify the Lord and all things celestial from him, or the goods of love and charity, is evident from the following passages in the Word, from which it is plain what they signify in particular cases. For all things in the Word, both in general and in particular, have a signification according to the subject to which they are applied. In David, the mountains shall bring peace, and the hills in righteousness. Psalm 72, verse 3. Mountains denote here love to the Lord. Hills, love towards the neighbor, such as was with the most ancient church, which because of this character is also signified in the word by mountains and hills. In Ezekiel, in the mountain of my holiness, in the mountain of the height of Israel, saith the Lord Jehovah, there shall all the house of Israel serve me, that whole land. 20, verse 40. The mountain of holiness here denotes love to the Lord. The mountain of the height of Israel, charity towards the neighbor. In Isaiah, it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of Yahuwah shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills. 2, verse 2. Here mountains denote the Lord, and thence all that is celestial. Again, in this mountain shall Yahuwah Zebaoth make unto all peoples a feast of fat things, and he will take away in this mountain the face of the covering. 25, verses 6 and 7. Mountain here denotes the Lord, and hence all that is celestial. Again, and there shall be upon every lofty mountain and upon every high hill rivers, streams of waters. 30, verse 25. Here mountains denote goods of love, hills goods of charity, from which are truths of faith, which are the rivers and streams of waters. Again, ye shall have a song, as in the night when a holy feast is kept, and gladness of heart, as when one goeth with a pipe to come into the mountain of Yahuwah, to the rock of Israel. 30, verse 29. The mountain of Yahuwah here denotes the Lord with reference to the goods of love. The rock of Israel, the Lord with reference to the goods of charity. Again, Yahuwah Zebaoth shall come down to fight upon Mount Zion and upon the hill thereof. 31, verse 4. Mount Zion, here and elsewhere in many places, denotes the Lord, and hence all that is celestial and which is love. And hills denote what is celestial of lower degree, which is charity. Again, O Zion that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. 40:9. To go up into the high mountain and bring good tidings is to worship the Lord from love and charity, which are inmost, and are therefore also called highest, because what is inmost is called highest. Again, let the inhabitants of the rock sing, let them shout from the top of the mountains. 42:11. The inhabitants of the rock denote those who are in charity. To shout from the top of the mountains is to worship the Lord from love. Again, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation. 42:7. To bring good tidings upon the mountains is likewise to preach the Lord from the doctrine of love and charity, and from these to worship him. Again, the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. 55:12. This denotes worship of the Lord from love and charity, which are the mountains and the hills, and from the faith thence derived, which are the trees of the field. Again, I will make all my mountains a way, and my highways shall be exalted. 49:11. Here mountains denote love and charity, and way and highways, the truths of faith thence derived, which are said to be exalted when they are from love and charity as their inmost. Again, he that putteth his trust in me shall possess the land as a heritage, and shall inherit the mountain of my holiness. 57:13. This denotes the Lord's kingdom, wherein is nothing but love and charity. Again, I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob, and out of Judah an inheritor of my mountains, and mine elect shall possess it. 65:9. Mountains here denote the Lord's kingdom and celestial goods, Judah the celestial church. And again, thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place. 57:15. High here denotes what is holy, and hence it is that on account of their height above the earth, mountains signify the Lord and his holy celestial things. And it was for this reason that the Lord promulgated the law from Mount Sinai. Love and charity are also meant by the Lord by mountains, where, speaking of the consummation of the age, he says, then let them that are in Judea flee into the mountains. Matthew 24:16. Luke 21:21. Mark 13:14. Here Judea denotes the vast stated church. 796. As the most ancient church held holy worship upon mountains, the ancient church did the same. And hence in all the representative churches of that time, and in all the nations too, the custom prevailed of sacrificing upon mountains and of building high places, as is evident from what is related of Abram. Genesis 12:1, 22:2. And of the Jews before the building of the temple. Deuteronomy 27:4-7. Joshua 8:30. First Book of Samuel 9, verses 12 to 14 and 19. 10, verse 5. First Book of Kings 3, verses 2 to 4. Of the Nations. Deuteronomy 12, verse 2. Second Book of Kings 17, verses 9 to 11. And of the idolatrous Jews. Isaiah 57, verse 7. First Book of Kings 11, verse 7. 14, verse 23. 22, verse 43. Second Book of Kings 12, verse 3. 14, verse 4. 15, verses 3, 4, 34, 35. 16, verse 4. 17, verses 9 to 11. 21, verse 5. 23, verses 5, 8, 9, 13, and 15. 797. From all this it is now evident what is signified by the waters with which the mountains were covered, namely persuasions of falsity, which extinguished all the good of charity. 798. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail and covered the mountains. That this signifies that nothing of charity remained, and that 15 signifies so few as to be scarcely any, is evident from the signification of the number 5, of which above, chapter 6, verse 15, where it was shown that in the style of the word, or in the internal sense, 5 signifies a few. And since the number 15 is composed of 5, signifying a few, and of 10, which signifies remains, as was shown above, chapter 6, verse 3. Therefore 15 signifies remains, which with this people were scarcely any. For so many were the persuasions of falsity, that they extinguished every good. As for the remains with man, the fact was, as already said, that principles of falsity, and still more persuasions of falsity, such as were with these antediluvians, had so entirely shut in and hidden away the remains that these could not be brought out. And if brought out, they would forthwith have been falsified. For such is the life of persuasions that it not only rejects every truth and absorbs every falsity, but also perverts every truth that comes near. 799, verses 21 and 22. And all flesh died that creepeth upon the earth, as to fowl, and as to beast, and as to wild animal, and as to every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, all on whose nostrils was the breathing of the breath of lives, of all that was in the dry land died. All flesh died that creepeth upon the earth signifies that those who were of the last posterity of the most ancient church became extinct. As to fowl, and as to beast, and as to wild animal, and as to every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, signifies their persuasions, wherein the fowl signifies affections of what is false, beast, lusts, wild animal, pleasures, and creeping thing, corporeal and earthly things. These considered as one are called every man. All in whose nostrils was the breathing of the breath of lives signifies the men who were of the most ancient church, in whose nostrils was the breathing of the breath of lives, that is, in whom was the life of love and of the derivative faith. Of all that was in the dry land signifies those men in whom there was no longer such life. That they died signifies that they expired. 800. And all flesh died that creepeth upon the earth. that this signifies that those who were of the last posterity of the most ancient church became extinct is evident from what follows, where they are described as to their persuasions and their lusts. They are here first called flesh that creepeth upon the earth, for the reason that they had become altogether sensuous and corporeal. Sensuous and corporeal things, as has been said, were likened by the most ancient men to creeping things. And therefore, when flesh moving upon the earth is spoken of, such a man is signified as has become merely sensuous and corporeal. That flesh signifies all mankind in general, and specifically the corporeal man, has been said and shown before. 801. From the description of these antediluvians as here given, it may be seen what was the style of writing among the most ancient people, and hence what the prophetic style was. They are described here and up to the end of this chapter. In these verses, they are described in respect to their persuasions, and in verse 23, in respect to their lusts. That is, they are first described in respect to the state of the things of their understanding, and then in respect to the state of the things of their will. And although with them there were in reality no things of understanding or of will, still the things contrary to them are so to be called. That is to say, such things as persuasions of falsity, which are by no means things of understanding, and yet are things of thought and reason. And also such things as lusts, which are by no means things of will. The antediluvians are described, I say, first as to their false persuasions, and then as to their lusts, which is the reason why the things contained in verse 21 are repeated in verse 23, but in a different order. Such also is the prophetic style. The reason is that with man there are two lives, one of the things of the understanding, the other of the things of the will. And these lives are quite distinct from each other. Man consists of both, and although at this day they are separated in man, nevertheless they flow one into the other, and for the most part unite. That they unite, and how they unite, can be established and made clear by many illustrations. Since man, therefore, consists of these two parts, the understanding and the will, of which the one flows into the other. When man is described in the word, he is described with distinctiveness as to the one part and as to the other. This is the reason of the repetitions, and without them the description would be defective. And the case is the same with every other thing, as it is here with the will and the understanding. For things are circumstanced exactly as are their subjects, seeing that they belong to their subjects because they come forth from them. A thing separated from its subject, that is, from its substance, is nothing. And this is the reason why things are described in the word in a similar way in respect to each constituent part, for in this way the description of each thing is full. 802. That persuasions are here treated of, and lusts in verse 23, may be known from the fact that in this verse fowl is first mentioned, and then beast. For fowl signifies what is of the understanding, or of reason, and beast what is of the will. But when things belonging to lusts are described, as in verse 23, beast is first mentioned, and then fowl. And this for the reason, as was said, that the one thus reciprocally flows into the other, and so the description of them is full.